Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a great weekend to have been the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
Yes, it was awesome. I got my first sunburn in. It's done. That's passed.
Yeah.
At the picnic on Saturday, it was unbelievable.
The Founders Club dinner at Shanahan's Steakhouse.
It was awesome.
The most fabulous dinner, and the food was pretty good, too.
Yeah, the food was all right.
The picnic and church yesterday at Denver Bible Church. But, Doug, we should really do the news first.
Got to do the news
before we talk about this in-house
stuff. Can we start with the news from me and Janet Huckabee, who is Mike Huckabee's
wife? Mike Huckabee was a presidential candidate.
He was.
And you've got news.
I've got news.
You and
Janet. Mike Huckabee, not only
his wife.
Mike Huckabee not only was a presidential candidate, but he did something much more significant in that he was the inspiration behind the Chick-fil-A event that occurred back in 2012.
Do you remember the thousands of signatures we got, personhood signatures at Chick-fil-A?
I got
in one day.
I got 1,400 signatures in one day.
That day.
At Chick-fil-A.
It was just astounding.
It was awesome. So that's, to me, that's the most significant thing Mike Huckabee has ever done. And all he did was stand up and say that the management at Chick-fil-A has a right to say that men and women should marry men and women.
I remember a police officer got written up for harassment because he brought his lunch with him to work, and it was a bag of Chick-fil-A, sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
That was considered hate speech.
Bringing his lunch.
Homos are running for the door when you walk through with a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was one of the more significant achievements of Mr. Huckabee. But Janet Huckabee and Mike and pretty much every other famous conservative talk show host and media personality in the world are on this list. Mm. We're on this email list. I don't know whose list it is. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how I got on it.
Yeah.
You're on it. And every once in a while you get a lot of inane blather on this list. But every once in a while you get something interesting.
Yeah, sure.
And this past week it was pretty much just inane blather. And Janet replied all. She said, "Get me off this list." The list is typically conservatives being criticized by other conservatives for being liberal.
Right. Bob and Yurt Live, we expose the liberal in the conservative.
I remember when I started working for Bob, the very first day, he said, "Have you heard Rush Limbaugh come on the air and say that he's right 98.96% of the time?" I said, Yeah. He said, "We're the ones who run those numbers.
We document."
And I did not. I actually believed it at first because I was somewhat naive. But I finally figured that out in short order.
Well, if you come out of the drugs and rock and roll scene,
you
pretty much could believe almost anything.
I was, the rock and roll.
Hey, Doug, we ran an ad that said that on KNUS radio for about a year.
Yeah.
It ran during Rush's show.
That's awesome.
And it said, if you ever wonder who does the document, who documents that Rush is wrong 1 point whatever percent of the time, we do it here at Bob and Yurt Live. So when Rush is off, tune into our. We were advertising for a different station, this KLTT, on KNUS. It had never been done before in the history of radio.
Now, this email list does not include Rush Limbaugh, but it does include the guy Rush always talks to. Anybody? I'm
Ken
getting
Hamblin,
blank stares.
Ken Hamblin?
No. Rush's
the Black
producer,
Avenger,
his call screener.
When Rush talks to his producer,
he's
usually making it up.
Yes. Anyway.
Right? Of course.
No, but everybody's been
There's
off
no
Rush.
There's no actual conversation going on.
Oh, he's making all that up? It's all in his own
One
head?
Of our friends who came to the dinner said, "Bob, I've finally given up Rush Limbaugh."
Praise the Lord.
And I said, "I won't say the guy's name." I'm like, after it took you 25 years?
Yeah.
Mike, what's wrong with
you? Well, everyone.
What's wrong with you?
Everyone here in the studio has been off Limbaugh for so long that they can't remember the name of this guy.
Years?
Yeah. It took a while.
It doesn't matter.
So anyway, Rush is not on this list, but his producer is on the list. But that's just an aside. Yeah. So Janet sends out an email. She replies all, "Get me off this list." She doesn't want to hear.
You can't get off these lists.
Well, that's what I told her. I replied all, and I said, "Janet, it's not my list. I don't know who started it. All I know is you can't get off."
You cannot get off.
And you should take it as a compliment because it means you're somebody.
It'd be easier to get off the IRS rolls.
Absolutely.
You can't get off this list.
Now, ironically, I had just watched Mike Huckabee the prior evening on one of the Fox shows.
Yeah.
And he was defending Donald Trump. And I said to Janet, but Janet, you can't get off the list, but could you please ask your husband to stop shilling for the godless Donald Trump? I said, I saw him on Fox last night. It was truly sad. It is pathetic and disgusting to see an ordained minister prostrate before such a wicked heathen. That's what I said to
him. Wow.
Now, she was already annoyed that Trump supporters who call themselves Christians were being criticized on this email thread. That's what bothered her, because they're shilling for Donald Trump now.
And so you're putting it right to her and to her husband, because he's on the list.
He was CC'd, but he chose not to respond. But Janet did. She responded to me the next morning, and she said, "No, Doug, I won't tell my husband that. There are two choices now, and Hillary is not
two choices.
There are two choices."
And Jesus often said that, like in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "When you're being offered a choice of two evils, pick one." Remember?
Well, is that the NIV?
Remember
what version
he said that?
I don't recall.
Pick one.
No, I.
There's no bottom to that abyss. Yeah. So if Janet Huckabee lived in Germany, where it was either the socialist or the communists, the Marxist, or the National Socialist, the Nazis, she would have had two choices.
Yeah.
And she probably would have picked which one, because the Marxists ended up killing 20 million of their own people.
Yeah,
the Nazis killed 6 million Jews in concentration camps.
Yeah.
So she might have said, you know, the Marxists are really worse, so we got to support the Nazis.
Well, at the time, she may have perceived the Nazis as being less of a threat.
The lesser of two evils.
The lesser of two
evils. Of course. I mean, that's possible. And so we've long pointed out, Doug, that when you're trying to understand morality, it never involves a mathematical calculation.
Ooh.
As soon as you go to do math to figure out which is the right thing to do, you're out of the covering of morality, and now you're into utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number of people. So somebody might decide, you know, if we kill these people here, it'll be better off for everybody. So you just kill them. You kill this child here, and it's going to save all these people from some kind of disease.
That's almost like a decision that the high priest made in Israel.
Yeah, that great point.
If just let this one guy be murdered,
we'll
keep the Romans off our back. It'll be better for everybody.
And so Janet Huckabee, married to a minister who does not promote the principles in God's word, but promotes the principles that support Republican politicians from God's word. See, there's a difference.
But Bob, we're not voting. We're not electing a pastor in chief here. What we're electing is a president and a commander in chief.
And so when somebody tells you that, hey, I'm not perfect, but if elected, I will support killing your son or your daughter. Well, then you'd probably oppose him.
Any rational.
Since Donald Trump is only supporting killing other people's children, then Janet Huckabee will support him because she forgot what a millstone is. She doesn't know what a millstone is.
Now, I think that Janet and Mike, they do know, and I believe that they're Christians.
Of course.
I believe that they love the Lord.
Yes, agreed. But there's a lust, right? There's this competitive lust to beat the Democrats.
Yeah.
And that lust, I mean, the crowd eventually shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Donald Trump is a card-carrying member of that crowd.
Ooh, yeah.
And he's a child killer. You know, he admits he's a child killer.
He does. Yeah.
So if he said, "I only support killing some Jews or lynching some blacks."
Well, that might be enough for some Christians.
You know, I bet you if he said, "I support killing a few homosexuals," the Huckabees would not support him.
They would not support
him. If he said that.
No.
But because he supports killing children, they're accustomed to that. That's just part of their political world. So if he supported killing Jews and they were in Germany 70 years ago and they were exactly the people they are today, they would support him.
Wow. That's a sad state of affairs.
That's where we're at.
So I have not responded to Janet Huckabee well until now. I suppose I have.
Yeah.
So we'll send her a link to the show. I'll email that to her this evening.
All right.
And that way she can hear my response instead of having to read it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you have been making predictions about justice for over 25 years. Mm. I remember in the 90s when the crime rate started to go down.
Yes.
And you said, well, we're putting all these criminals in prison.
We're postponing all the murder.
So naturally,
the murder epidemic, we're postponing it.
Naturally, crime rates are going to decrease. But there's going to be a day of reckoning. It's coming.
Because we went from 1 million in prison with an epidemic murder rate.
Oh, yeah.
So we doubled the number of inmates to 2 million, and the crime rate went down. Well, of course it did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we were only postponing the inevitable. Mm. So now what's happened?
Well, I just want to address a story about a man who was put in prison. I believe it was the year you got saved. It was the year of Roe v. Wade, 1973.
Yeah, that was the year I became a Christian. But, Doug, before that, Chicago... How many have been murdered now? About 250 people so far this year.
Well, there have been over 1,500 shot.
And in Chicago.
Over 200
in the first 5 months.
Yeah.
The number murdered is, I think, over 250 or right about 250.
Yeah, it's over 250.
Yeah. And so it's, again, epidemic the way it was in the 90s when we first went on the air. Mm-hmm. And so these criminals are being released from prison, and we didn't figure out how to deter crime. We just tried to prevent people from committing crime. So at any rate, that horrific prediction is coming true.
It is.
But so what is this
And story? To your point that we haven't figured out how to deter crime, there was a man in 1973 who earned the title the Monster of Worcester in England.
Yeah.
His name was, I'm not going to say his name. He's 65 years old now.
Yeah.
He's been in prison since roughly 1973. That's when he committed the murders. Listen to what this guy did. He was lodging with a couple, and they left him home to babysit their small children. Nobody knows why, and he's never said, but at some point, he murdered young Ralph, a 4-year-old, his sister Dawn, a 2-year-old, and 9-month-old Samantha, murdered them, and then impaled their bodies on the garden railing next door to the family home. When the police arrived, they were in shock. They got physically ill.
Sure, of course.
It was literally the crime of the century, 3 years ago in England.
And so they put him to death, and then he came back from the dead, and they put him in prison?
He did not.
Why didn't they put him to death?
Because they sentenced.
They should have put him to death.
Exactly.
Is it too late?
It's not too late. Where there's life, there's hope that we could put this guy to death.
Well,
he was jailed for life. Life should be in parentheses because it had a minimum of 20 years. So for the last 20-some-odd years, he has been applying for parole.
You can't even trust lawyers when they use a simple phrase like he was sentenced to life.
Yeah.
You can't even trust them on that because
doesn't
that normally means 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't they term limit themselves to life?
Yeah, absolutely.
These attorneys.
Absolutely.
If life means at any rate, they're frauds, right? You need an attorney when the law is used as a weapon against the innocent. Mm-hmm. That's the only time you need an attorney. And our attorneys say we have the best system in the world because we have the highest paid attorneys in the world.
Yeah.
So what did they sentence him
to? Well, he's been applying for parole dutifully every year for 20-some-odd years now. And back in 2006, he convinced prison officials, lawyers, judges to let him out. And he was allowed to live in a halfway house type situation. But then the public found out about it. And there was outrage. The people were marching in the streets, so they had to put this guy back in prison. This is 10 years ago now. Hmm. Well, now insiders at the prison say that he's been granted parole again, and he may be released again. So this insider in the prison preemptively released. He leaked it.
The information.
To the press.
To try to stop it.
Yeah, and he says, well, the insider released it, I believe, in light of a statement by the children's mother. As this guy goes for parole, you know,
yeah.
The family gets to come, and they get to say,
right,
hey, this
right.
is what happened. Well, the mother said she's terrified by the prospect of this murder ever being released. And so somebody has leaked this to the press. And what astonishes me is the fact that this guy could ever be considered
to get out. You know, sometimes inmates beat to death certain classes of criminals, including child killers. Sometimes
yeah.
they beat them to death.
Child molesters.
It's happened.
Yeah, they're beaten
child
to
molesters.
Death in prison. Oh, yeah.
And when that has happened, you and I have described it in a certain way on the air.
Ah, yes.
We've said, see, the system works.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
When they will beat to death a child molester in prison.
Or a child murderer.
But, you're a talk show host. I'm an ordained minister, pastor of Denver Bible Church. But I'm so glad we're not Muslims.
Yeah.
Because, well, for one, Muhammad is a false prophet.
Right.
And Allah is no God.
We'd be on our way straight to
But if we were Muslims, we'd probably issue a fatwad. We'd issue a fatwad and tell the inmates there at that prison.
Ah, yes.
But we're not Muslims, and we know right from wrong, and we know God, so we don't issue fatwads.
No. We're not going to be able to issue a fatwad. And the sad thing is this murder, because now he's 65 and he looks like a friendly old grandfather. If you read the story, he looked like a drug-crazed maniac 40 years ago when he killed these kids. Mm-hmm. He looked like a maniac. Now he looks like friendly old grandpa, and he's bamboozled his parole board into letting him out of prison. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Should have put him to death. We could have stopped the story right there.
Yeah.
That's where we could have ended. We just should have put him to death, because that would have deterred crime. See, now the average drug-crazed maniac in England who may be considering murdering someone, he knows that life isn't life. He's watching
life it. Life isn't life.
Yeah.
And even if you are in prison, you watch movies, you play softball, you do whatever.
Hey, I've got something
volleyball,
on that. Hold on.
Foosball.
Now, this is England, right? But let's come back across the pond. Hold on just a second here. I've got a story. Reporters went undercover in the Clark County Jail, Jefferson, Indiana. Now, Bob, you're being an expert. Maybe you could tell us the difference between jail and prison.
Well, jail is typically city-county incarceration.
Yeah.
But when you're in a state or a federal prison,
I see.
And normally it's longer sentences.
In the prison.
Yeah.
So this is a jail.
Oh, and guys, Doug, when people are in the city jail and they know that they're going to be transferred to the county, they can't wait to get to the county. Because you get more privileges and all.
Oh.
And when they're in the county jail and they're going to be transferred to a state prison or a federal, they can't wait. They literally count down the days and the hours till they get transferred.
Wow.
So that the deeper in you go, the better all your benefits.
Well, these reporters were undercover at Clark County Jail, Jefferson, Indiana. Does anyone know where Jefferson, Indiana is? Is that the south side of Chicago? No? North side of Louisville? Kentucky? So southern Indiana. All right. Anyway, this wasn't a prison. This wasn't a federal prison. This wasn't a state prison. This is a county jail they went into. They went undercover, and what they discovered will not surprise you in any way, but it may surprise some of our listeners. They found that the inmates manufactured their own drugs.
No, come on.
Yes, they manufactured drugs, their
Can't
own drugs.
True. So
not only that, narcotics were smuggled into the jail from...
Doug, it's not true.
It's true. Drugs were smuggled in by the trustees.
Come on, they're trusted.
These are the trusted prisoners.
Yes.
And they're the ones who smuggle in the narcotics. Now, they also found...
Let me tell you how hard it is to smuggle in narcotics. As a trustee myself at various jails, you get to clean the jail.
Right.
And you take out the trash, you clean the lobby, you clean the sheriff's offices, and that's where the inmates get things like the printout of every inmate and what he was convicted of.
Ooh.
And then they bring it in, and that's when they want to beat up the child molesters.
Oh.
But anyway, some girlfriend will go into the lobby and go to the vending machine, and instead of taking something out, put something in.
Uh-huh.
And then her boyfriend, trustee, will come to the lobby that night to clean up, and he'll reach his hand in, and he'll take out whatever contraband.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guards are going to what? They're going to figure out where he just hides it somewhere as he's cleaning for the next 3 hours, hides it somewhere, and smuggles it back into his pod or his cell.
Mm.
They search, but when they're searching, you got 10 trustees in a line. They just hand the stuff back and forth between each other.
It's almost as if
it's
almost as if you've witnessed something like this happen in the past.
It's a game.
So you've actually witnessed things like this.
Of course.
Okay. So
yes.
As I said, you would not be surprised. Now, the undercover, listen to this. This is interesting about human nature and the spiritual aspect of us. The convicts, although they were smuggling in contraband and they were making shivs, and they're all convicted felons. They're criminals.
Yeah.
But they would get into fights over not keeping their word to one another. One guy was promised, he promised another prisoner he would give him his hash browns. He reneged on it. So the convict started beating the other convict because he had broken his word.
See, the system works. You know, it's interesting when people deny that there's a God,
yeah,
or that God has revealed right and wrong. In every conceivable way, they affirm God's standard. Mm-hmm. They just affirm it. If you go to steal from them, if you go to cheat, you know, seduce their wife, if you bear false witness against them, they recognize all these things as injustice.
Yeah.
So it's like two lesbians getting married. One is butch, dressed like a guy. The other's in a dress. And while in their rebellion, they're affirming that God made us male and female.
Mm. Yep. One more thing on the prisons. Homosexual prostitution and rape was rampant. Rampant.
Within the prisons.
This is the county jail.
Doug, the female guards get pregnant from the inmates. And the ACLU has made sure that the female guards can walk through the men's showers and bath stalls or whatever. And so it's all, the guards are worse off than the inmates. The guards have a life sentence. The inmates get out. Even the murderers, the guards have a life sentence and they become criminals.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So now let's go to the root of all this.
We need to abolish, by the way, incarceration as a form of punishment.
Amen.
Yeah.
Incarceration is inhuman. It's counterproductive.
Yeah. We've had guards contact us at Bob and Yurt Live and say we need to fight for the abolition of the prison system. Because, in fact, Doug, an Ivy League student, law student, I had coffee with him this past week.
Ivy League. Well.
And he's, you know, he wants to be a lawyer, but I didn't tell him I would not speak to him.
Well, there's an exception to prove every rule.
Well, not too many, but it is possible to be a Christian attorney. It's almost impossible, but it's possible.
It is possible, yeah.
But he said that the course he took on incarceration, they acknowledge that the inmates all get worse in prison. I mean, as a general rule, to characterize it, it's a school for criminals. Mm. We've been saying that on this show for 25 years.
Yeah. Well, perhaps the evidence is so overwhelming that as intelligent human
even
beings.
Even liberals figure it out.
Right. Just because they can do the math. They can do the numbers. They can see the rates of.
So their answer was, well, we should be more like Norway and make the prisons less onerous. Mm-hmm. More liberties.
Really? Is that the solution?
Yeah, more enjoyment. And so he said, why are we so Eurocentric? He said that.
Oh, he
right?
said this.
He's
in
manipulating
class?
Them. Oh. He said, why don't we follow Singapore? They flog criminals.
Hey.
And they have way less crime there. And because he started by saying, why are we so Eurocentric? The group couldn't really disagree with him.
Apoplectic.
It's so easy to manipulate liberals.
They couldn't insult the Asians. They, of course, are trained to hate the Europeans.
They got to hate the Europeans.
That's the perfect line.
It's perfect.
That was perfect.
Brilliant.
He deserves to be in the Ivy League if he can think that quickly on his feet.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. But let's now go to the source, or one of the sources, of the high prison population, and it's the government schools. And not to beat a dead horse, because I know we did a couple of these last week.
Yeah.
But we're now up to reason number 1,054. Is anybody keeping track officially?
1,054 to keep your kids out of
the government schools. Now, Texas, we all know that Texas is rock-rib conservative Texas, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of? You think of manly men and cowboy boots and six shooters. Conservatives.
I think of homos in Houston. But anyway, go ahead.
You're so jaded.
So go ahead.
Still think of cowboys.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hold on.
Yeah.
Now, Texas, as a state, they're on track to break their record that they set last year. Actually, they've set a record every year for the last 5 years for inappropriate relationships between teachers and students. And this year looks to be no different. It looks like they may break the record before like the third quarter is over. Because they're already at 162. Last year they had 188 investigations, and this is the fifth year of growth in that particular cottage industry of teachers seducing and molesting students.
Right.
It's rampant. But parents, don't worry. The Public Education Committee there in Texas and the legislature, They are holding hearings.
Oh.
They are hearing testimony from experts.
So there's hope.
Have they called you yet?
No.
Then maybe there's
we
not
better
hope.
Get on a plane and head down there.
Well, listen, the legislature.
They want to hear from experts.
Their
experts have no idea how to solve this problem.
Well, they
not a clue.
Well, let me tell you what they've figured out so far. The experts say that the main problem is social media.
They're idiots.
That's fueling the.
They're idiots.
Well,
in my high school, how about when you were in high school? Was this a problem?
Well,
when I was in high school in the 70s, we had a teacher, homosexual choir director, who gave HIV to all the male students he seduced.
Oh.
And five of the male students in our school died of AIDS, including one a friend of mine, Greg Corey, died maybe 6-8 years after high school.
That's awful.
So he seduced them. He turned them into homosexuals, and they died.
Wow.
And that was before Twitter. It was before MySpace.
Even before MySpace.
Yeah.
And this
before
was
before AOL.
Now, this is New Jersey in the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, I went to high school in Texas in the 80s where our band director was, at least he was heterosexual. He impregnated a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And was run out of town by her daddy.
And it was because of the internet.
Well, there was, this was been 1982. I think it was, the internet may have existed, but it was only in Al Gore's basement.
That was it.
Nobody else had access to the internet at that point.
At that time, it connected Hillary's server.
Yeah.
to his BlackBerry, and that was all it did.
That was all that existed. That was it.
Back then.
Anyway.
Doug, we're out of time.
The authorities in Texas are on top of this, but only if they call you and invite you to testify.
Yeah.
The legislative session starts next year.
There's nothing to worry about.
Next year.
Keep sending your daughter to public school because she will not be sexually assaulted. She won't be harassed. She will not be mocked about her body. She won't be dared to perform sexual acts. So don't worry. Just send her there.
So I sense, a slight bit of sarcasm.
Just
there's a sarcastic
no
edge.
Reason to worry about your daughter in the public schools.
Get
none
your
at all.
Kids out if they're in. Keep them out if they're not in there already. Because the government schools are established against the living God to inoculate your child from the gospel.
Doug, this weekend, 25th anniversary, Bob and Yurt Live.
Awesome.
The dinner at Shanahan's, people coming in from around the country. From California to Connecticut.
It was amazing to see the reach that you've had.
The picnic at Denver Bible Church and then Sunday morning, Sunday school and the service.
This is your reward. It's your reward for directing people to Jesus Christ for 25 years on the air.
What a wonderful time. Thank you and Brian Enyard Jr. for organizing. God bless you guys.